D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. And we are proudly presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. So I've been meaning to get to this topic for a couple of days. Paul Kaharsky, earlier this week, posted this question at Paul Kaharsky NFL on X. Quote, if the Titans draft Cam Ward and his best statistical season is 4,500 passing yards, a 71.4% completion percentage, 41 touchdowns, and 16 picks, is that a success? By the way, those are the numbers for Baker Mayfield this past season. It was a poll question. 5,083 people voted. 90.8% said yes. 90.8% of more than 5,000 people said that those numbers, if that was Cam Ward's best statistical season, that would be considered a success. And I'm not sure if you would be surprised by this, but Jared Stillman was PO'd about this. Here is part of what Jared Stillman said earlier this week.
With the number one pick in a draft, you're not looking for a starting quarterback. You're not looking for Geno Smith. You're not looking for Sam Darnold. You're not looking for Baker Mayfield. You're looking for elite. So to me, if they use that number one pick on Cam Ward, then I want Cam Ward to be elite. And if Cam Ward is not elite, if he is not a force multiplier, then they messed up. But to settle out of court today for Baker Mayfield, give me a break.
So that was part of Jared earlier this week. He spent a lot of time on this topic. At some point this week, he was tweeting through it. He was finding people on social media who were talking about it and quote tweeting them. He was going through it. But I asked this question to Jared and Joe Rexroad on Jared versus Joe on Wednesday. I was the guest moderator. And I actually awarded the contest to Joe because I think, although Jared's lofty standards, I admire how lofty his standards are, I also find them to be a tad unrealistic. So these are the quarterbacks, if I have my list correct, and Jared, if I don't, I know you're going to text me. Here are the quarterbacks that would satisfy Jared in terms of if Cam Ward is taken number one overall and he has a career like these quarterbacks, this would satisfy Jared. Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, C.J. Stroud, Jaden Daniels, Lamar Jackson, and he was sort of on the fence about Justin Herbert. So those are the quarterbacks. If you're going to take a quarterback number one overall, you better hope, or you better make sure, I should say, that Cam Ward has a career like those players.
Okay, name what are those players?
Patrick Mahomes.
Okay, let's move Patrick out because he wasn't even a first round pick.
Josh Allen.
Okay,
let's get to the base part
Okay, Josh Allen. Has Josh Allen
pick in the draft? No, he says the first pick
of the draft should be an
elite quarterback. I think that's his argument.
Yes.
And you can't settle if you're picking first, which that makes sense, but it goes to the word you used, Adam, is reality. The reality is when you have the first pick, you have to choose from the players that are eligible to be picked that year.
Okay.
So Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, C.J. Stroud, Jaden Daniels, Lamar Jackson, and again, he was sort of on the fence about Justin Herbert. I feel like Justin Herbert is sort of the cutoff point.
Okay,
but he should only be compared to quarterbacks who were taken with the first pick.
Yeah, not necessarily. If you're comparing to guys that have proven that they are elite quarterbacks, we didn't think
– and Mayfield fits that category.
We didn't think – I'm not going to even put myself in his boat. I'm just going to say it. There were not many people that believe – Jackson was going to be an elite quarterback when he came out. Nobody. Now all of a sudden, you're saying that's what I need to be getting. Like, it takes time to develop into that, you know? So I didn't know Joe Burrow was going to be the Joe Burrow he is now because of the numbers, because of who he played with in college. Won national championship, by the way. They put up historic numbers. You just hope that he could replicate that success in the NFL, and he has, for the most part, he has been able to do that, with the exception of the first year when he got hurt. But it was, we didn't know that when he came out, okay? We didn't know that that was going to be the case. But it ended up being the case. Ward, on the other end, listen, if you're asking for those numbers, and they turned out to be the numbers of Baker Mayfield.
Let me read them again.
Just by now, the numbers of Baker Mayfield, right?
Yes. So Paul's question basically was, if Cam Ward peaks as 2024 Baker Mayfield, and the Titans take him with the number one overall pick, is that a success?
Say the numbers again.
4,500 passing yards, a 71.4% completion percentage, 41 passing touchdowns, and 16 interceptions.
Okay, Matt, I'm going to give you some more numbers. Okay, Jerry, you're saying you wouldn't take that. Okay, how about 4,600? Because it's not too far off. 4,600, 37 touchdowns, 12 interceptions, completing 72% of his pass. So it's right around the same thing, right?
Who is that?
That's Jared Goff. He's led his team to a Super Bowl.
Jared was clear. Jared was clear that Jared Goff is not good enough.
Exactly. And Jared Goff is not good enough, but he led his team to a playoff. And I know he played horrible.
Went to a Super Bowl.
But he went to a Super Bowl. And he was a big part of the Detroit Lions being for almost 50 years at the bottom of the NFL. I'm going to repeat that. Almost 50 years at the bottom of the NFL. And it was, and they had Matthew Stafford, too, who was their number one pick.
And Calvin Johnson.
And Calvin Johnson, arguably one of the greatest receivers ever. He comes in here and he helps change everything. But maybe, though, are those numbers good enough? Because they're not too far off from Baker Mayfield, maybe 100 yards, 200-300 yards here, a couple touchdowns there, a couple percentages of completions here, percentage here. But they're identical. So would you take those numbers?
This is what I worry about for Cam Ward, because Cam Ward, it's clearly defined, and this is what Jared has been pounding away at, is he's not by the consensus, not just by you or me or any one person, but all of the evaluation. He doesn't seem to be a guy that every year would be the top pick. Right? Can we agree on that?
Yes. He's
a good prospect, but maybe not first pick in the draft type of evaluation. And so I think he's going to be chasing that. And people like Jared are always going to tie Cam Ward's numbers to the expectation of being the first pick in the draft. It's not Cam Ward's fault that he happens to be eligible to be picked in a year where there aren't a lot of other great quarterback prospects. That's not his fault, and it's going to work to his advantage in terms of getting picked that high and getting the money that goes with the first overall pick. But let's just go with the quarterbacks who have been picked first. If Jared's standard is, well, the first pick is elite, that's not what history tells us. So Jared clearly hasn't taken history or hasn't learned from history, and I thought he was a smart guy. I think he's a smart guy. He just looks to be overlooking this one thing.
Well, yesterday...
Yes, Terry Bradshaw, Peyton Manning, John Elway, those are all first picks in the draft. Troy Aikman, would you take all those guys? Yeah. Andrew Luck? Sure. Eli Manning? Eli Manning wasn't a great quarterback year in and year out, but he won a couple Super Bowls. You'd probably take that. But here are some other guys who were the first pick in the draft. Jeff George, Sam Bradford, David Carr, Tim Couch, Jamarcus Russell, Steve Bartkowski, Alex Smith. So my point is, you get a whole spectrum. There's 20 guys. And if you listed the 20, you'd have the top of the top, the elite, what Jared's looking for, his standard, which he says should be the standard. But you also have the opposite, the total nightmare of Jamarcus Russell in there. It's all happened in history. So you could get anywhere in between, and that's probably where Cam Ward will be. So let's accept. I think that's where the 90% of people are saying, I understand that. So congratulations to the people on Paul's website that have some logic to say, you know what? If his floor is high, then that's pretty good. I'll take that. That's a lot better than Jamarcus Russell.
So this was part of Jared's argument yesterday. So in The Beast, Dane Brugler's 2025 NFL Draft Guide, in the section about Cam Ward, he wraps up his analysis with this sentence. Quote, with his, meaning Cam Ward's, talent and intangibles, he projects as an NFL starter in the mold of a taller, slower version of Kyler Murray. And Jared mentioned with Kyler Murray, who was the number one overall pick in 2019, that Kyler Murray is under 500 as a starter in the NFL. He's 36-45-1. He's played one playoff game in six seasons as the Arizona Cardinals starting quarterback. And Jared's argument was, Kyler Murray, he's a solid quarterback, but you're never going to win anything with Kyler Murray as your quarterback. And that's what he's afraid of with Cam Ward. That if Cam Ward is indeed a taller, slower version, whatever that means, a taller, slower version of Kyler Murray, that the Titans are going to have a quarterback who is good, but not good enough to be that force multiplier, as Jared says, to lift this team to new heights.
When I look but
who
at,
do, so who do you pick? What do you do with the first pick?
I think he, again, if I'm wrong, Jared will let me know. I think he would take, I think he would trade down.
I know he wants to trade down, but you got to have a partner. This is, I do too. I agree 100% with Jared.
I think it would be this. Travis Hunter. I think it would be Travis Hunter if he stayed at one and
said.
Picked.
That's who, but if you stay at one, but okay. Is that the right move? I'm okay with that if that's what they want to do. I would love to trade down, but that's the point. That's the dilemma that they're in.
615-737-1025. Hold that thought, Derek. Right. We'll get back to this. 615-737-1025. Is Jared bananas? That's a wide-ranging question, but I just want to
yeah,
get your opinion
so.
On it. By the way, before we go to break, I did come up, Willie, and I shared it with David and Derek already, for the thriller/slasher film starring Hal and his daughter's boyfriend. Netflix.
Can't you see the scene? But Dad, he can't get home. Don't you have a heart? Let him stay here. I can tell any dad. It's not unique to Hal. I think it's D-Mace. It could be Willie. Could be C-Mace. I think all of us were like, no.
But I could.
He's not staying here. Listen. I'll get him a hotel room if you want.
By the way, the name of the film. Here. The name of the film is Netflix and Gil.
I could see Hal saying, okay. I could see Hal conceding and said, okay, he can stay here. And I can just picture this. It's 1 o'clock in the morning, and the young man has to use the bathroom, as all young people do, or late at night, or we all do. And, you know, just not he gets up. There's no bathroom, you know, in his room. So he gets up and he goes out in the hall. And the minute he goes out in the hall, he see Hal in his chair with a bat, a chainsaw, and something else just sitting on the couch, just waiting. Like, where you going? Like, where you going? And the kid like, I just wait in the morning. I just wait to use the bathroom
in
the morning.
I'm going to swing his pants.
No, the kid's got to say, I wait to use the bathroom in the morning, sir. I'm sorry.
I can just see Hal is being like, oh, yeah, he can stay in the doghouse.
615-737-1025. So Paul Kaharsky asked the question earlier this week. Basically, if Cam Ward peaks statistically as 2024 Baker Mayfield, would you take that? Yes or no? 615-737-1025. We will get back to that next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063, The Game.
Cam Ward, all signs point to it. There, I haven't found anyone in football right now that has said to me, oh, be careful. They may be just doing all this to see if New York will come up and make some historic trade to get up there. And I think that's what it would take. I think if anything, if it would ever get to that point, it would have to be something we've almost never seen before in terms of trying to move up.
When do you think they make that decision? Like when do you think Titans will... And Callahan and the GM be like, we're stuck at one. Will they ever do that? Or will it be like, oh, we're open. Just the intrigue for you.
Yeah.
For you. What do you think?
I think the morning of, they'll probably shut
wow.
it down.
Like, what happened to the days of like, hey, number one pick, we know we're going to go ahead and say it 2 days before.
Yeah.
Remember those that happened a couple times?
No, like, we got to sell this thing, man.
Days?
We have to. And this is the problem
you're not
with this draft.
Anyone.
Right. And we're going to talk about this. Coming up here in a few minutes, where this draft as a whole just doesn't have the electricity that it normally does. And I think Tennessee's probably doing a good job with the league here of trying not to show their hand too much, but I think internally it's just everyone knows. It's like, yeah, this is what we're doing.
That was Diana Russini and Chase Daniel on the Scoop City podcast on The Athletic talking about Cam Ward. We're also talking about Cam Ward, and Matthew wants to join us. Matthew is on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. Matthew, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Hey, is D-Mace there?
Yes, I am.
Hey, Derek. My dad worked for the NFL and was over at the Titans facilities ever since you guys first got to town for many, many years, and recently passed away, and he just loved the Titans, and I didn't know if you – if you knew him, interacted with him at all, his name was Bernie Red.
Bernie Red. Oh, man, I can't. I can't recall at this moment.
I'm sure I have.
Yeah.
Probably so. I ran into Frank Wycheck at Mafioso's many years ago, and said hey to him and mentioned the same thing. And he said, "What's your dad's name?" And I said, "Bernie." And he said, "Oh, Piss Man." Because he's the guy that did all the drugs. I was like, well, I've never heard my dad have a nickname
the
like
drug
that.
Test?
Oh, okay. No. He was an older gentleman. Now I remember exactly. Yes. No one really knew his name, but that's what he was. Yeah, he was known as that guy.
Yeah.
Oh, man, you got to go see the
badge of honor.
You got to go see the P guy.
You
got to
go see
Matthew,
the P guy.
Do you have a question regarding Cam Ward?
Well, I'm just wondering, you know, having been a founding member of the season ticket club, just, you know, is this going to be a year to have some hope? Because it seems like, you know, we've had a few years of hope and then it's kind of fizzled away. And, you know, is Cam Ward the answer or should we trade that capital and get some more picks?
Thank you for the call, Matthew. And I actually want to ask Willie to respond to Jared's text, because Jared texted me during the break to respond to your point. Jared says, quote, "I understand Willie's point about you can only pick who is there. But if you don't think he's going to be an elite quarterback, you don't pick. You sign an average guy like Geno Smith and build the team out with that first pick. Chicago fans wouldn't accept Caleb Williams being Baker Mayfield, and I won't shift my standards because the class stinks."
I understand that. And I think it comes down to how good you think Cam Ward is going to be, and are you willing to accept the consequences of that? It's like when you settle, right? Let's say you had a friend and you feel like, you know, that person gets engaged and you're like, man, he or she is kind of settling, you know, like they're not waiting for it doesn't look perfect, right? It's not. And so that's the dilemma that a lot of people get into, right? And we've seen it work and see it not work. So I think Jared and I see the evaluation of Cam Ward the same of, okay, he's not this out of this world prospect. You're like, man, yes, first pick overall, let's do it. Everybody agrees. But so the dilemma is, who is worthy of that? Are the other guys that's what I'm thinking is part of the equation here. Is I don't think people are sitting there going, "What, Travis Hunter? He's off the charts. He's going to be unbelievable." Same thing with Carter, with the injury issues and that. I think that's what makes it tough. That's what brings them back into that, and that's why they're having trouble getting phone calls. I disagree with the discussion on that podcast we just heard. I think if they got a call 5 minutes before the draft and got something they like, they should consider that, because I do think at the end of the day, that's probably the right move, is to trade out of that pick. But you can only go with what the market has in that particular year.
So one question I asked on
I just think where Jared's wrong is sitting there going, you know, if you pick him first, he's got to be Troy Aikman or Peyton Manning. Odds tell you, history tells you, he won't be. He's going to be somewhere in between the best of the best, whoever you think that is, whether it's Elway or Peyton Manning, the best ever first overall pick, or the worst first pick, which was Jamarcus Russell, right? Mm-hmm. Somewhere in the middle is probably Cam Ward. And that's the essence of Paul's question.
So one question I asked both Jared and Joe on Jared versus Joe on Wednesday was, whose career among active quarterbacks would you accept as the bare minimum for Cam Ward if the Titans draft him number one overall?
The minimum.
The minimum. Whose
the
career
four.
Among active quarterbacks would you accept as the bare minimum for Cam Ward if the Titans draft him number one overall? Joe said Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts, he would accept Jalen Hurts. As we know, Jared is not perfect.
As the minimum?
As the minimum.
Gosh, that's a high bar.
Jared's,
he's awfully good.
Jared's was higher. Mm-hmm. Jared said it would have to be on the C.J. Stroud. I think it was the C.J. Stroud, Justin Herbert level. Like the tier directly below the Mahomes, the Burrow, the Allen, the Daniels. So
who
would
be Stroud? We don't really. C.J. Stroud is in the second inning of a long.
He's still
career,
in the first
right?
inning. He's still in the
no
first
idea.
He's still
yeah,
in the
we
first
got a long
inning.
Way to go before we know what C.J. Stroud is.
Okay, if he's saying the bare minimum,
that was my question.
Oh yeah. So he said he needs more than that.
I said whose career among active quarterbacks. Uh-huh. Would you accept as the bare minimum?
And he
for
said
Cam
Ward.
That's, so
but
Tim
you
Hasselbeck
see,
had an answer, right? Tim Hasselbeck's answer
CJ
was
Stroud.
Hasselbeck's Andy answer Dalton. Was for that was for yeah. Shedeur Sanders. He compared Shedeur Sanders to Andy Dalton. But I hear what you're saying.
But you can't. I don't think you got to remove Shedeur. I mean, you got to remove Jaden Daniels or CJ Stroud from the equation. They haven't had a career. It's been a year. That's not a career. So let's take him. Let's take those two guys out. They've had 1 or 2 years respectively, you know, at the most by both guys. 2 years that we can look at.
What's interesting about Justin Herbert, right? Because we would all agree, Justin Herbert is a really good quarterback. Mm-hmm. Justin Herbert is 0-2 in the playoffs. Yeah. Like, Justin Herbert's put up some gaudy numbers, mm-hmm. but it hasn't translated to meaningful wins for the Chargers.
But, so it's okay. Are you just looking for, not you, when you answer your question, are you just looking at numbers or are you looking at who that guy is?
Jared, like, if you're listening, text me and answer that question.
As
and I will read it
as
on
a
the air.
Player,
right,
not
Paul,
necessarily.
Paul's thing had to do with the numbers. Right?
Exactly.
Paul
was all
Paul's
of,
thing was
only it said numbers.
Numbers
exactly.
W's. And like that's, Troy Aikman's numbers don't jump off the page, but Troy Aikman was a winning
and that,
quarterback.
And that
on a great team.
Here lies the problem because one person looking at numbers and the other person is looking at what this player has become. Fitzpatrick had a bunch of gaudy numbers, but I know you're not looking for him to be Fitzpatrick, are you? No. So if we were just to throw out Fitzpatrick numbers, I'm sure he had some really good numbers in 1 year. Or Matt Flynn, who had a great one game. Or Sam Darnold, for that matter. One great season so far. So are we looking at numbers or are we looking at the player as a whole? Now, okay, if you're saying numbers, then if Cam Ward turns out to have 4,300 yards, 35 touchdowns, 12 interceptions, completing 66% of his passes, based upon numbers, would you take that? I would say yes. You know who that is? Sam Darnold, Jared. Sam Darnold, the person you love. you want, you were salivating over the Titans potentially getting them. You would have gotten them today, even before free agency started, if you were the Titans.
Salivating is one way to describe what exactly. Jared did with Sam Darnold. Apparently, there's a gorilla on the phone. Gorilla is on our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. Thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Gorilla King of the South, baby. What's going on, fellas?
What's How going on?
Check this out, man. This is the one thing I think everybody is overlooking with this kid. Well, there's 2 points I want to make. The first thing is this kid has unmistakably the it factor. Now, I know Jared got something to say. I'm not even thinking about that. But he has a it factor, it quality. It's shown up everywhere he's gone. Secondly, he throws his receivers open. His ability to anticipate where his receiver is going to be. And now, Mace, you can sign off on that that's the best style quarterback in throwing that ball, that just let me beat my player to the spot. This kid is awesome, guys. He's awesome. I didn't want him. I wanted to trade back. I didn't want him until I started watching film on this guy. He has it, man. He's an assassin. I'll hang up and listen to you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, Gorilla.
King of the South?
King of the South. Listen.
We also have a response from Jared.
Yeah, okay.
He said, I wouldn't have used the first pick on Sam Darnold. I believe that C.J. Stroud and Justin Herbert are better players than Jalen Hurts, and it's not particularly close.
Okay, so let me see something again. Okay, 3,700 yards, 20 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. Would you accept that?
Say it again.
63% of your passes completed, 3,700 yards, and 20 touchdowns and 12 interceptions. Would you take that, Jared?
Probably not.
Okay. Probably not, huh? Say that again. I want Jared to answer that before.
Just the numbers.
He's
right?
Probably looking it up now. Would you take that? Just the numbers.
Who is
Jared?
It?
That's C.J. Stroud, the same guy that he said he needed to be at least that guy. 4,100 yards his first year, 23 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. 63% of his passes are completed, close to 64, really 64, let's say 64, because he's 63.9. The next following year, 63.2, 37, 20 touchdowns. So on average, the last two, let's just say his average, the last 2 years he's put together 63% of his passes completed on average with 7,800 yards, 43 touchdowns, and 17 interceptions for 2 years. So if Cam Ward does that, or if he had 3,700 yards, which Stroud had last season, would you accept that? Because that's – so basically C.J. Stroud is a 3,800, maybe 21 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. Would you take that? Because that's what his numbers are the last 2 years on average. 4,000 yards, 20 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. That's what his numbers are. So would you take that? Basing it on numbers.
The reason why, because some texters have said, I don't care. Wes in Clarksville says, I don't care how many yards my quarterback has. I want wins, not 6,000 yards. The reason why we're talking about statistics is because when Paul Kaharsky presented this poll question, it was all about numbers.
Exactly.
He didn't talk about how many wins that quarterback had, how many playoff appearances that quarterback had. It was just, if those are his peak numbers, would you accept it? Now, more than 90% of people on the poll question said yes. Jared disagreed, which is fine, but that's why we're looking at numbers specifically, because that is the question that Paul asked.
And that's all I'm going to is numbers, too. I'm just looking at numbers.
So we know these are all questions that you got to go deeper before you, because the numbers we know are not, especially the surface numbers, that doesn't tell you the whole story.
No.
But I guess I would throw this back at Jared, because I think he said that Hunter would be his pick if you stayed at one. And so is Hunter worthy of the first pick? How well would Hunter have to do to satisfy Jared's definition of the first overall pick? Because you got the same thing there. Because I'm of the belief that whether you were the 10th pick, the first pick, a first-round pick, a second-round pick, a third-round pick, after a couple years, it doesn't matter. I just want to see, what kind of player are you? Are we signing you to the next contract? Are you a winning player? Are you part of a winning team? I think a lot of times we attach a person's track to where they were picked, and after a while it doesn't matter. I don't think the coaches care. Oh, well, he was the first pick in the draft. I guess we should take him. I don't think they were saying that about Jamarcus Russell after a couple years. What I mean? Like after a while it doesn't matter where you were picked. Are you a good player or are you not? So is Hunter worthy of the first pick? And how well would Hunter have to do?
615-737-1025. We'll continue this conversation, but we also have to get to the season finale of Take It to the Bank. We have a winner to crown, and it wasn't me, so I'm kind of sad about it. But we'll do that next. 615-737-1025. Also, speaking of that number, if you text in the keyword Jason, J-A-S-O-N, to 615-737-1025. You can win an exclusive Jason Aldean experience at the Eurostone Club at Bridgestone Arena to see, of course, Jason Aldean, plus also a chance to win $1,000 cash. D-Mace Finnegan and Donick, 1025-1063, the game. It's time for our season wrap-up show of Take It to the Bank, presented by FNM Bank. Business is complicated. Banking doesn't have to be. FNM Bank. So David James will go over our selections from last week, and then we will crown our champion.
All right, boys. So first off, I'm going to go with, last place to first place. So for me, I said Walter Clayton would have 20-plus points against Auburn. I said Houston covers plus 5.5. Both of those happened. I said South Carolina versus Texas would go over 125.5.5. That did happen. But UCLA did not meet South Carolina in the championship game for the women's bracket. Unfortunately, it was UConn who ended up winning the whole thing. So, you know, whatever. Who cares about that? But, you know, I got 9 total points. So my season ends with 140 total points. So I am firmly in last place. So there's that. But we're going to go to, you know, Willie, your selections were, you said dunks. I also had under dunks as well, or over dunks. Willie.
How many were there?
There was 3.
Okay.
It was supposed to be 2.5 under, mm-hmm. or it was over under 2.5. There's 3.
Got it.
And we got it on the last possession.
Thanks it was to a big
the
one late.
Thanks don't, to the don't remind me.
We got to go over the picks.
I know. Go ahead.
Now, Willie and Adam both had the under, so that unfortunately did not happen. Now, Willie, you did say Cooper Flagg would have under 19. He had 27 points. So that under did not happen. You got Florida minus 2.5, but then you also said Duke minus 5.5, and that didn't happen. Yeah. So you only got 3 points with 162 total points. Now, did that give you second place? We'll see. Adam, you had under dunks as well. You said Houston covers against Duke, so you got points there. You said Cooper Flagg would have at least 20 total points. That did happen. And you said UCLA would cover against Auburn outright. Oh, no.
I said that UCLA would cover against UConn, which absolutely did not happen.
Yeah, that absolutely
did not happen. They got smoked.
And then I said
Auburn would win outright against Florida.
I didn't put the comma somewhere. Happen. That did not happen. With 6 total points, with, wait for it, 164 points. Okay. So the Gatorade discussion did not have to,
Quarter point that we subtracted did not come back to bite him ultimately.
It almost did. It was pretty close.
It was very close. Very close. Now.
Hey, hold on. Listen, man, we know how this is going to end. We know how it's going to end. But before that, play my theme music. Boy, y'all hear that? In the words of one of the greatest authors out there. He ain't even an author, but I'm going to say he's an author. Greatest coaches ever in all of coaching. This is what the greatest man in the world said.
We don't put up banners for grade eights. You know, we put up banners for championships and Final Fours.
That's right. We put up championships, okay? We don't put up banners for second place. We don't put up banners for third place. We put up banners for what? Championships. Now tell me what my score was.
Your total score was 183 total points.
No contest.
And you got 3 total. No you got contest. 9 points. On the weekend.
We hang what?
Banners.
Championship banners. We ain't talking about the second place or the third place. The great words of Tom Izzo. That's what we do.
We only do Final Fours and championships.
Final Fours and championships. That's all we do.
I really struggled post-football. Like, I built up a pretty good lead during football season. Had a good Super Bowl. And then I could not get them right after that. I opened the door for Derek to take the lead and ultimately win. So I'll be beating myself up.
Don't sound like I'm polite and you open up the door and let. No, I kicked the door in. That's what I did. Kicked it in.
He played Michigan State basketball.
We don't open up the door. We kick doors in around here, green and white.
So congratulations to Derek Mason, who, if I recall correctly, finished in last place in silly underdog.
Wow,
picks.
Seriously?
Wow, you had to kick a man down right there.
But redeems himself.
Boy, oh boy.
So in my first my first seasons in these two competitions, I finished in second place both times. I finished in second place in the silly underdog picks and second place in take it to the bank.
I just got to show you how a butt-whooping feel. That's all. I just got to show you how a butt-whooping feel. Willie knows how I feel. I just had to show you how I feel. You know?
I see. Well, Willie, the Predators are in Las Vegas. Final road game of the season tomorrow night against the Golden Knights. A 9 o'clock puck drop, an 8 o'clock pregame right here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. It's only 11:52 a.m. What are you going to get up to for the rest of the day? Do we need to have some check-in calls over the course of the day? Make sure you don't get into too much trouble?
Yes, I think that would be nice if you guys do that. I think there is some
debauchery planned.
Hey, Willie, I want to ask
you. No debauchery.
No debauchery whatsoever. No. Hey, Willie, I do want to ask you this question because they're coming down. This is their last road game. They know they're not headed to the playoffs and everything else. This has to be some of the most difficult games to play in, like the last few games, because you know they are for nothing. Like, in the big scheme of things, when it comes to championships and all that other stuff, raising banners, championship banners, these last three, they're for nothing. What sense are you getting from these guys?
Well, I think the last couple of days have really helped, right? They've had some fun. They've had some fun games that they've won, and I do think they're trying to do what they can to build some bonds, do some team building on and off the ice that they can carry with them into next year, so that they can believe truly. And we know what it is like, hoping to win and believing you can win might be two different things, right? So they want to have a belief that next year will be different. So I think they've done a reasonable job of that. And then we know that's going to be a huge offseason. As soon as the last whistle sounds, the last horn hits next Wednesday against the Stars, there's going to be all kinds of questions and discussions of where to go. Who's coming back? Who's not coming back? You know, how do you build this thing back to where the standard is for the franchise? But I think – you know, there's a decent feeling right now. I think they've long since gotten over the absolute disappointment of, oh man, we are so far from where we thought we were going to be. I think now it's about looking ahead.
That'll do it for us this week. We hope you had a wonderful week. We sure did. The Predators' final road game of the season tomorrow night in Las Vegas against the Golden Knights, which means it's our last show where we're not all together for a while, because Willie will be back, of course, over the weekend, and we'll all be here together every day.
Yes.
One big happy family.
Family.
We'll check in on you in a little bit, Willie. Make sure you don't get up to anything, you know,
nefarious.
Yeah, please check in.
Keep Hal in check.
Yeah,
keep my feet
check
on the ground.
Yeah. Yes.
Keep my feet on the ground.
I'll see you at the penny slots, my friend. I hope everybody has a wonderful weekend. Stillman & Company coming up next.
Be blessed. Be loved. Love on your people. Your circle is good. Expand that circle, please, because you need to love everybody, or at least try to love everybody. Be safe. Have a wonderful and blessed weekend. Peace.